main event. I heard that someone broke the first time they got over 100. Then I also was told that I think Levi tied one of our adults. And I thought, of course, the bumper guards help when you don't get a gutter ball. When you can't get a gutter ball, you usually can knock down some pins. But he tied somebody, but I'll tease him privately. I don't want to do that from the pulpit. But I was told that he tied one of our adults. I didn't get to do any bowling. I was trying to keep an eye on everybody and did a little bit of laser question. Then got hurt in my knee and my hip. It hurts when I do too much silly stuff. And so, we did get to have a good crowd and had a good time there. So thank you, Mom and Dad, for coming and taking the kids. As far as the rest of stuff going on this week, tomorrow night, 6:45 for soul winning. Nothing on Friday except the booth. And when I say the booth, I'll talk about the booth in a minute. Saturday is bus visitation at 9:30, soul winning at 10:45, and then back in your place for Sunday school and church. Sunday school 9:45, church at 10:50. Now the sign up sheet is out on in the hallway on that table right by the ladies' bathroom, and that is a sign up sheet for the Fiesta stuff. Now Fiesta goes on, starts on the 20th. Goes till the 30th. We are only scheduled every other day. So we are scheduled on Friday, which would be the 21st. So we're scheduled on Friday. So that's this Friday. It's not next. It's this Friday. And the sign-up sheet is out there. We'll have the booth. We're not sure where in the carnival we'll have the booth. We'll have the booth in the carnival. And we'll have the three doors and the tables. And some of you, how many of you have been there before? So you know what I'm talking about. Those of you that haven't, we have some folks that try to hook the crowd to come in, see the three doors, and after they see the three doors, the three things God cannot do, and then they try to get them to come in and sit down and listen to the salvation plan, and we have dozens, usually 200 or 300 every year that do that, and that is always a blessing, so it's a great soul winning opportunity. So that will be going on Friday. Then another church has it on Saturday, and then we have it on Sunday, and then another church has it on Monday. We have it on Tuesday. Another church has it on Wednesday. We'll have it on Thursday. Another church has it on Friday, and we'll have it next Saturday. Now, Saturday next week will be the long day. All the other days are just in the evenings. Saturday next, and that's not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday, that will start early in the day and go till 10, 11 o'clock at night on Saturday. So it's a long day, and we'll have, again, if you can't go all day, that's not a problem. If you can go down for just 2 or 3 hours, that is a blessing. It is in the, what is the arena called? Where we park at. Alamo Dome. The old Alamo Dome parking lot is where we park at. Now, I don't know what the parking is this year. The parking last year was $10 per vehicle. So that's why we typically try to carpool, and I'll find out if there's folks that's going to be leaving here every day at a certain time so you can come and carpool, or if Roy's going to take folks down in a group, I don't know. But again, we will have every other night starting this Friday. So that is, and there's sign-up sheets out there. Then that next Friday we start the booth. Next Friday is the parade, and that is called the Parade of Flowers. And again, we have a group that goes down and passes out tracts along the parade route. They have a bunch of the map tracts. Some of you have seen those, and they can get those printed up, and we take those down and pass those out. The good news is no one throws those down, because most people do not know their way around downtown. So they hang on to that. On the outside is the map of downtown. On the inside is a map of how to go to heaven. So two maps, one a lot more important than the other. But the one map makes it where the other one gets kept and read. So that will be on Friday. And then I've been announcing this. If there's anyone that can help take care of Mrs. Garcia, it is a Thursday through a Sunday. I believe it's Sunday morning. I believe Michael's supposed to get back Sunday afternoon. Michael would like to, if there's anyone that could take care of Mrs. Garcia from Thursday, the May 11th, to the Sunday, which is May the 14th. If you'd let me know, that would be appreciated. Michael is supposed to, he wants to go to a men's retreat, and he is the one and only person who takes care of Mrs. Garcia. So if you can help with that, we'd appreciate it. And then also, if you'll keep my family in prayer, next week also is the second anniversary of my wife's death. So I haven't decided. My kids want me to come down and spend some time with them next week, but there's so much going on that I'm not sure if I can get away to do that. So, Brother Price, you got that picture? In the springtime, I don't know if they got it. In the springtime, we always talk about. No, he does not. So, all right, I was going to show you the new calves because everybody always talks about the births and stuff. So I've got three new calves. Two are about a week old. The other one's about 3 weeks old. And some baby chicks. So you just have to see them some of the time. So we'll come out to the farm.
All right, if you can, let's stand. Make me a blessing. Out in the Many are weary and sad, carry the sunshine when darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
I forgot to mention, Mrs. Sharp was in a car accident this afternoon. She's okay, but was bruised up pretty bad, totaled the car. I did the prayer list earlier today, so I didn't get that on the prayer list. But when you pick up a new prayer list, stick her on the prayer list and pray for Mrs. Sharp.
Is that Brian Sharp's wife?
No, Mrs. Sharp, that sits right
over
here.
Oh, okay, yes.
Brian
okay.
Sharp, not Brian Sharp.
We got one more verse to go.
You can come and join with me if you want. Well, you stopped because I didn't want to forget it again. So.
It has was given to you and your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
Now you can pray. Don't forget to pray for Mrs. Sharp as well.
Lord, we thank you for your blessings on our lives. We thank you for your love to us. And your salvation. Be with Miss Sharp tonight and others that are sick as well. Bless this offering, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
when Miriam does that, it just makes me feel old. She used to be, I remember when she first started coming around here, she was about the size of the Parks girls. Back then, I could hug her down here. Now I just have to wave at her because she's grown into a young lady. But I forgot to mention it, but we'll start it next Wednesday. Now, Betty, if you can just let Roy know, I'll try to remember. Mr. Sells, if you mind Brian or me, one of us to call Roy tonight, tell Roy he can pick up the check tomorrow. Preacher said we can take up. We'll start taking offerings for the next couple Wednesday nights to go toward the booth. It costs us, Freedom covers half of it, and I think their half is, what, $1,250? So it costs us $1,250 as well to rent our half the booth. Now, if you want to write a check tonight, or if you do the credit card thing or however you do it, you want to do that tonight, that's fine. Just designate it to the booth. If not, I have someone that will front the church. We'll give the money and then just pay that person back. But we want to be able to – Roy has to go down tomorrow to claim a spot. If we wait too late, then he don't get a good spot. So, and I'm hoping they don't put us next to they always put us by that one great big ride that has all the noise, or the guys next door playing the rock music. So I always think, they just do that just to see if we will go ahead and keep doing what we're doing. But I always pray, I'd rather have the ride than the rock music, because I can live with the ride noise. The rock music noise is a little harder to deal with. But again, if you want to be a help and a blessing, if you can go down, you want to go, because again, this is a place. Now, if you don't know how to sow win, the best way to learn how to sow win is watch someone else sow win. And I can tell you, if you don't know how to sow win, one of the best folks to watch is Brother Andreas's wife. She sits down, she draws pictures and does stuff with especially with young folks, and explains it so well. It's easier to understand a picture than it is a lot of people's words. But she uses scripture, but she'll, instead of talking, she'll show pictures till they get to the end and get saved. But you can sit by a soul winner, because what we have is we have a tent, one of those canopies, usually two of them. We have tables underneath there. We have those little tables and chairs. And the folks that bring them in, they just stay right where they're at. That's their job. They just hook people all night. They just keep getting people to come in and sit down, and the soul winners just stay right there. Sometimes every chair and table is full. Sometimes no chairs and tables are full. It just depends on the crowd. Usually the first of the week is a little the weekends are bigger than you know, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday type of thing. But again, it'll cost us. If you want to be a help and a blessing, you can't go down to the booth, but you want to be a help and a blessing with the finances, it does cost us $1,250 to rent the booth for our half, and we're going to raise that the next couple Wednesday nights.
All right, so before we sing this next song, how many know who Ron Hamilton is? He just passed away about a half hour ago, so he's... And Shirley, his wife, she's happy, actually. She's relieved that he's been so sick for so long. Anyway, she said he wrote 955 songs, and one of them is Rejoice in the Lord, so we'll sing that tonight in honor of Ron Hamilton, sometimes better known as Patch the Pirate.
God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and holding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seem long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake, he knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and pure, shadows ahead, so I look at the cross of my Savior instead. I bow to the will of the Master that day, and peace came and tears fled away. Rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. Purified, can see, testing comes from above. God's strength fans his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Purging the fruit I will bear. Rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knows with the end of each path that I take. Oh, when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am waiting on to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Sorry for coming up two or three different times. I don't always remember stuff if I don't write it down, and sometimes I don't remember the paper when I write it down, so sometimes it's not any help. I'm going to read a verse. It's not going to be the text verse, but I'm going to read a verse where the thought of the message comes from tonight. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, the Bible makes this statement, "And when he had removed him, he raised up again, raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Now, in doing a study, and again, I got this, again, if you know anything about preachers, we listen to sermons, we read books, we get stuff. In looking into this message and getting this message, a fellow said there's two ways you can look at the statement that said David was a man after God's own heart. It could either mean, number one, that the first way would be that David tried to copy or duplicate and have a heart like God's heart. The second one would be that he actually wanted to have God's heart, to be able to be someone that was so close, and which is probably what the verse means. But tonight we're going to look at the other one, the one where it comes to copying the heart of God, or how to have a heart that's like God's heart. So the title of the message tonight is Copying the Heart of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read a verse from there. And then we'll read my life verse, the verse that I like, in 1 Peter. So we'll read a couple of verses for the text verse tonight. But again, as I mentioned, the two ways to copy the heart of God would either be one of duplicating it and having a heart like God, or the second one would be where you went after the heart of God himself. But, you know, honestly, I think if you try to copy the heart of God, that also would mean like you're going after the heart of God, because you'd be becoming a lot like God. I don't know if you've ever seen someone. Lots of times you can always tell family resemblance by the facial expressions, but sometimes mom would dress the kids alike. My wife did that with all the pictures on our wall. My wife had a certain clothes that Jacob wore, and then a few months later this one, and then when Joseph was born, so we have three pictures where all of them looked alike, but it's actually all three boys in the same clothes. I don't know how she kept track of all that, women can do that stuff as men cannot. We're lucky if we can find our clothes in the morning to get dressed and get out the door. But she has each of the boys in two different costumes, the same costume at about the same time in their life. And they look a lot alike. And so, again, there's sometimes that people will dress alike somebody. But in this case, we're looking to try to copy the heart of God. Notice Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 makes this statement. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So again, followers is someone that is an imitator or someone who tries to be like somebody. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, my life verse, the verse that I like. I learned it in the Christian school, and I try to use it quite often in my life. Fail quite often as well, but it says in 1 Peter 2, 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. The last part's the important part, that ye should follow his steps. So what it means is Christ walked a certain way. We try to follow his steps. If he was out in the wilderness, they would call that breaking trail. What that means is one person, goes through the rough spot, and the next person has to do is just follow along in their footprints. They do that sometimes across the lake when it's frozen, because one person is checking to find places where to make sure the ice is thick enough, and then you try to walk in those same places, because you walk in the wrong place, you might fall through the ice. They would do the same thing in going through a minefield in the military. They would mark a trail through the minefield, and you stayed on that trail. If you got off that trail, you allowed them to get blown up. But again, in this case, we want to follow or imitate the steps of Christ. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, I'll read that to you, and it says this, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So again, it is important. Christ wants us to have the same walk that he walked, have the same, again, we're supposed to strive as much as we can to become like Christ. So tonight we want to be copying and look at copying the heart of God. Let's pray and we'll get into the message. I ask the Lord to give me your help and your blessing. I ask you, Lord, that you would help me to say what I should and not what I shouldn't. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me speak clear and plain, that folks might understand and get the thought. And I pray, Lord, that if there's any good that comes of it, that you take the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that we want to do when it comes to copying the heart of God is we should try to copy his love. Again, if you could think of any one attribute that God would have or Christ would have, it would be his love. Going to Galatians chapter 5 in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 5. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, you have a listing. And that listing is stuff that is called the fruits of the Spirit. And it gives us a fruit of the Spirit. And guess what the first one is when it comes down? There's several. There's 8 or 9 of them. But guess what the first one is of the fruit of the Spirit? It is what? Love. What he said in Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. I think it's meekness, temperance, and then against such there is no law. But again, the first one he mentions. Now, there are times that the first one's not necessarily the most important one or the most prominent one. Sometimes we will often say we've got 5 points that are not in any necessary order. What we mean is we didn't think of the most important one, then the next important one, then the next important one. That probably is how we pay our bills. Because we have some bills that's more important than others, and we make sure we pay this one because it's hard to, we want a place to live, and then we'd like to have a vehicle to drive. And I mean, but the truth is, there are many times that a list will be given, and there is no real order. I believe that this probably is not the case here. I think that he gives us this. I think love probably is the most important one. You say, how do you know that? Because there's lots of verses throughout the New Testament that talks about, again, you're supposed to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and by the way, then love others as well the same way. So love's talked about a lot. But again, Galatians 5:22 makes that statement. Now, again, understand, we want to copy his love. Now, in order to copy his love, we'd have to watch him and learn from his love, see how he loved and see who he loved. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 makes this statement. Be ye therefore followers of God. So again, we're supposed to follow him as dear children. Then he goes on in verse 2 and says this, and walk in love. So he says, I want you to follow Christ. I want you to be imitators of Christ. I want you to be duplicates of Christ. I want you to try to do all the things that Christ does. And what he says first is, I want you to walk in love. He goes on and says, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, you and I realize that he says that greater love hath no man than this. What? That a man do what? Lay down his life for his friends. Now, Jesus Christ did that. And he not only laid down his life for his friends, he laid down his life for his enemies as well. But again, we call that, we talk about that being the love of God or the love of Christ. So again, we want to copy his love. His daily walk was one of love. Notice in your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll read verse 9 and verse 10 there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice what it says in verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, verse 10, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Now, what he says, I want you to love, then I want you to do some more love, and I want you to do some more. What he means is, just like naturally, it's natural for us to grow higher or bigger in stature. It also, by the way, for a Christian, is natural for us to grow in love. The longer we've been saved, the more we should love. Now, at first, it's not easy to love. And by the way, there are some people that's hard to love. And by the way, if you think that there's some people for you that's hard to love, I guarantee you there was people that was hard for Christ to love. Yet Christ loved them. The truth is, those Roman soldiers that were spitting on him and plucking his beard and driving that crown of thorns down on his head, you know what you could say about when it was all said and done? You know what you could say what Jesus thought toward them? It wasn't maliciousness. It wasn't anger. Truth is, he could have called legions of angels. You and I, if we'd have had that control, there would be no salvation available because you and I would have came down off that cross. We'd have wiped out all the folks that had been doing all that stuff. And we'd have probably set up our kingdom on the earth right there at that time. But that wasn't why Christ came. So what he did was, the truth is, that's what they said about Lazarus when they saw that he was crying. They said, behold how he loved him. Didn't say he must have really known him really well. Didn't say that. Now, there's been times I've preached a funeral and I've given illustrations and stories and relatives that didn't know me came up and said, you knew him pretty well, didn't you? How many of you remember Brother Barnes? I did Brother Barnes's, I believe Brother Barnes's funeral. And most of his relatives knew me. And again, because Brother Barnes had, we'd been doing stuff with Brother Barnes for years. But at his funeral, one of the folks that didn't know me very well came up and said, you really did know him, didn't you? And the answer was, yes, I really did. Now, you know how I got to know him? I spent time with him. That's how you get to know somebody. You spend time with him. And by the way, if you want to get to know God, guess what you're going to have to do? Spend some time with him. Now, we can do that in prayer. We can do that in Bible reading. We can do that in church attendance. There's lots of ways we can spend time with God, but we want to copy his love. And again, if you want to see more about love, you can read 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 5, a lot about love in 1 John. Truth is, so much about love in 1 John that if he tells us as a child of God, if you don't love others like you're supposed to, you're not even saved. I mean, John puts it there pretty bluntly, talks about love. Not only should we copy his love, number two, and you can go to Luke chapter 6. We'll read a verse here. Luke chapter 6. We should copy his mercy. We should copy his mercy. Again, there's no one that depicts love as much as Christ depicts love. There's no one that was more merciful than Christ was merciful. Notice Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now, we're great at expecting and wanting mercy. We're great at that. We are very big on wanting mercy, expecting mercy. We are not near as good at giving mercy. Some of you know there's a finger thing you can do. You can get guys to do this sometimes. I don't think girls do this. I've never seen ladies do it, unless they're teenage girls doing it with guys. But the guys will put their fingers together. Adam, come up here. Well, some of you don't know what this is. They call this mercy. Now, Adam, don't hurt Brother Block, so we're just going to fake this, okay, Adam? We're really not going to hurt Brother Block. Just to show off the show. But they start like this, and then when they say go, they start doing, they try to get where they bend someone's fingers back, and that person, in order, you go till someone says mercy, which means I give up, stop, thank you. Thank you for letting me win, too. That was the inevitable result anyway, so we're just glad that we didn't have an embarrassing. You guys, that's not very nice. You're supposed to say amen at the times like that. But they call that mercy. Now again, we are very good at expecting mercy. We're not very good at giving mercy. Man, I love that Psalms. I didn't look it up. I think it's, what is it, 126? 137? Because it'll make a statement and then it says, but his mercy endureth forever. And it says, he's God of all gods and his mercy endureth forever. And he's done this and his mercy. I mean, verse after verse after verse. I mean, dozens of verses. You know why it says that? Because his mercy endureth forever. It says that because, now again, there are lots of times that we might say something about someone in a certain situation. But again, God and Christ were, I mean, they are always merciful. Now, they could judge all of us much more severely than they do. You say, well, God's not fair. That's a stupid statement. It is. That's a stupid statement. God is far more than fair. You and I, first off, if God was fair, we'd all go to hell. He would not have even offered salvation. because we surely didn't deserve it. And Christ had no real reason. It's not like Christ owed some penance, so he had to leave heaven to come down on earth and serve some time down here because he'd misbehaved in heaven. That's not why he came. I mean, he was God. And he came down in the flesh because he loved us so much. But again, understand, mercy is something that we are very good at expecting, very hard sometimes at giving. Sometimes a person I remember someone said, if you ever want to get out of a ticket, here's what you say. Brother Vineyard was really good at stuff like this. He always had quirks and things. He said, I often would say this, a police officer pulled me over. He said, I know I deserve a ticket, sir, but I ask you for mercy. He says, then he doesn't say anything else. He just, an uneasy silence. Now listen to me. If it's a highway patrolman that pulls you over, let me tell you what you cannot expect. Mercy. My son said that when the highway patrol gets his little helmet, he turns in his heart. That's what my son said. He said, when the highway patrol, when those guys, those motorcycle cops turn, he said, when they become that person, they trade in their heart for their helmet. He said they would give their own mother and their own grandmother a ticket. But there are folks that really will give you mercy if you ask for mercy. And by the way, we appreciate it when people give us mercy. We should also understand that people will appreciate it when we show them mercy. Again, we want to copy his love. We want to copy his mercy. The third thing we want to copy is his forgiveness. Go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We want to copy his forgiveness. Now, we're not just asked to copy his forgiveness. We are commanded to copy his forgiveness. Notice Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, if you know the Lord's Prayer, you know the Lord's Prayer is exactly, that's part of the Lord's Prayer. What he says is, we're supposed to forgive debts as you forgave us, we're going to forgive others. Luke 11, verse 4 makes this statement, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I said this to someone the other day. I said, you need to learn forgiveness. We were doing some counseling. Miss Bell and I was counseling someone. Now, wives, listen to me. If you're going to stay married very long, let me tell you what you're going to have in your marriage. Forgiveness. You know why? Because you married a knucklehead. He is called your husband. Okay? You're talking about any husband? I'm talking about every husband. Okay? It's called man, okay? And we will do stupid stuff. We will forget stuff. We'll say dumb stuff. We won't notice when your hair got done. We won't notice, when you got a new dress. We won't notice. Now, I said this to someone the other day. I said, you didn't even know I got my hair cut. Didn't even notice. Because, see, you women expect us to notice when you get your hair done. Sometimes you come in, you come in and you go, what you think? And we're thinking, oh, Lord. Twirl around one more time. I mean, we're trying to figure out what it is that's different because we don't catch on all that fast sometimes, all right? What you have to do is you just, like the Missouri mule, you just have to reach out with a stick and whack him upside the head and then be like, oh, nice dress. Now, I heard this the other day, and this is really true how I used to do when Mrs. Block would say, she would go shopping. I'd sit and read my book while she was shopping. She'd call me on the phone or she'd step out and say, can you come look at these two dresses? And she'd say, I like both of these two dresses. Which one do you like? I'm an idiot. I would only say, how much does that one cost? She'd say, $32. I'd say, how much does that one cost? $15. I'd say, I like that one. She'd go, you just like it because it's cheaper. I said, you said you like both of them. So that means you're happy with either one. And I am happy with the cheaper one. So I said, now we are both happy. I mean, honestly, isn't that a win-win? I mean, she wanted either dress. I spent less money, so I was happy. I mean, I didn't want to buy a dress at all. So if there was a dress they was giving away, I mean, that would have been the one I'd have chosen. But she wanted a dress. Now, it never fails. Women have to have the right kind of hand cream. I mean, you can't just have hand cream. You have to have the special hand cream. And you have to go to Bath and Body and Beauty Works and all that stuff. And, I mean, or you have to have certain hair stuff. Us guys, we can wash our hair with lava soap. I mean, we don't really care. It may not be the best thing, but we just wash our hair with whatever's in there. And by the way, ladies, if you don't want us to use your stuff, hide it, okay? Put it someplace else in the shower. I mean, put a chain link fence around it, something. But I mean, we just, when we're in the shower, we just reach for something. So whatever's in there, we just squeeze it in our hair. It might be, now, hopefully it's something that doesn't burn our eyes, because sometimes we open up our eyes while we're washing our hair too. So, I mean, that's why the baby, what is it, baby shampoo that don't hurt your eyes. But the truth is, women always buy fancy hair stuff. Now, ladies, you're just lucky we even remember to wash our hair, okay? I mean, we can come out of the shower and be like, did you wash your hair? I mean, we don't always remember stuff. And we also don't spend an hour in the shower either, ladies, okay? The hot water heater still has hot water when we get out of the shower. Well, I mean, some of us, I don't know about all you guys. Some of you guys may stay in the shower a long time. I have no idea. I can do a three-minute shower and be done that quick. But the bottom line is, women, I mean, you're expensive. This one, the man, if there's any real men in here, you'd yell amen. But see, all you guys are like, you gave me the thumbs up on the side that your wife was not setting. So, I mean, she didn't even see you. But the truth is, sometimes we have to ask forgiveness, ladies, because we make mistakes. Sometimes it's intentional. We're knuckleheads. Sometimes it's unintentional. We're knuckleheads. But again, if a marriage has lasted any length of time, there was some forgiveness involved. Now, listen to me, ladies. You're not perfect either. So there's going to be some times that he'll have to forgive you as well. But in dealing with Mr. Bill and I, dealing with this person, these folks, I said, you have to learn to forgive. If you don't forgive in a marriage, your marriage is not going to last very long. Because the resentment will build up and build up and build up and build up till you say, you know what, that's it. Again, copy is when it comes to his love. Copy when it comes to his mercy. Copy when it comes to his forgiveness. We read Matthew chapter 6. Notice verse 12. We'll look at that again. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, when we think of the debt, remember the story. Go over to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. There was a fellow that was, again, it mentions here that he was, when you stand praying. So he was standing praying. And in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, it makes this statement. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any. So he said, you got some folks that have done you wrong, forgive them. You got some folks that you've done wrong, forgive them. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So what he's saying is, if you don't forgive, God doesn't forgive. Now, there are a lot of things. For instance, we often will make the statement, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. In this case, it is forgive and you will be forgiven. Now, we all want to be forgiven. We fail God every day. We go to God and have to confess our sins. Now, we don't get saved again every day, but we have to confess our sins every day. If you're like the average person, you have to confess your sins lots of times every day. Now, if you wait till the end of the day, you won't remember them all. Which is why typically then after we prayed for the things we remember, we throw this one out there. And I don't know if all of you do this, but I've heard some of you pray, so I know some of you do this, and I do too. And Lord, if there's been anything else that I did today, forgive me for that too. If I messed up, forgive me for that too. What we're saying, God, all the rest of it, just throw that in a big pile and just forgive me for all that stuff. But the truth is, what he says is, in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, while you're standing praying, forgive. And what he says, you need to forgive, because he said, you're going to be asking your Heavenly Father to forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26 says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So he says, here's the thing, if you don't forgive them, I don't forgive you. Now, we all need God's forgiveness. And again, you do not want to go without God's forgiveness. And if you don't want to go without God's forgiveness, it means you have to forgive. You say, they don't deserve forgiveness. Duh, neither do you and I. You say, but you don't understand how many times they've done that to me. Again, double duh, duh. So do you, I mean, how many times have you and I committed this? We call that, that's why we call it the besetting sin. You know why? Because it's there and it stays there. I mean, I don't know what your besetting sin is. If you want to tell us publicly, we'll all be glad to listen. We'll even put it on the internet tonight, and before too long, the whole world will know. But the truth is, we all have besetting sins. Some people's besetting sins are sins that are shown out, I mean, that show, they're out in public. Some of us have sins that are within our heart or in our head. No one ever knows about it except our closest friends or maybe our family members. The truth is, but all of us have sins that we do. We ask God to forgive us. He does. We do it again. We ask God to forgive us, and He does. We do it. We ask Him to forgive us, and He does. So if you're wondering whether you should keep forgiving that person, you say, but you don't understand. I mean, this is like the third time this week they've done that. Here's the thing. If you expect God to forgive you the third time this week for the same thing that you've done, you're going to have to forgive them the third time they did it. Because what he says is, don't expect me to forgive you if you don't forgive them. So we have to copy him in forgiveness. Forgiveness. Go over to Matthew chapter 18. We won't read the whole story, but Matthew chapter 18. This is the story of the fella who went before his master. Matthew chapter 18. Notice verse 23 is where it starts. Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I used to remember what a talent was. It was a lot of money. 10,000. I mean, it'd be like this guy owed him hundreds of thousands of dollars. He was going to throw his family in jail because that's what they did. They put him in debtor's prison. They stayed there for so long. And it wasn't just the person who did it. It would usually be him, his wife, his kids. The whole family would go to debtor's prison. I mean, their debt was paid off to society or to this person. In this case, he was forgiven. Then you know the story. He goes on down and down farther in the story. And we're not going to read it all. He has a fellow that he goes to collect his debt. This fellow owes him pennies on the dollar compared to what. I mean, we're just using an example. Say he just got forgiven for $250,000. He went to another guy that owed him $20. And when this guy couldn't pay him the $20, did he show the same kindness and the same attitude toward him that was just showed toward him? And the answer to that was no. He took this fella and punished him, like, by the way, was the law. He wasn't doing anything outside the law. He wasn't too harsh. This is what the law allowed. It wasn't like he doubled up on him or anything. By the way, the same thing that he had deserved, and even in a greater way himself, for the debt that he owed, that he had been forgiven. Now, listen to me. He went on through life thinking everything's okay. But when his boss found out that this had happened, and by the way, word got back to him, in you guys' case, in my case, God sees everything. So it's not like it even takes a few days before it gets back to God that you and I didn't forgive someone. He sees it the moment it happens. But in this case, the word got back to his master that he had been forgiven for this great debt, but then he threw this guy and his family in prison for a small debt. So you know what he did? He went ahead and made that fellow. He held that guy accountable for all of his debt. Now, you and I do not want to be held accountable for all of our sins. I don't have any idea how many sins I've committed through the years. But a bunch. I don't. I have no idea. You say, Brother Walker, is it thousands? I'm sure it is. Tens of thousands? I'm sure it is. I have no idea. A bunch. Now, the good news is all of that's been forgiven. And I don't know how much longer I'm going to live, but if I live to be another 10 or 15 or 20 years, I'm going to commit some more sins. Guess what? All those have already been paid for as well. Now, when I commit them, I'm supposed to ask Him to forgive me because that's what He wants us to do. But the fact is, He will forgive me without question, understand, we ought to copy His forgiveness. Colossians, go in your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 makes this statement. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. He keeps repeating, as Christ forgave you. If you want the Father to forgive you, what He's simply trying to get across to our hard heads is we need to learn to forgive people. Now, it doesn't mean you and I are supposed to be wise stewards of things. If you and I loan something to somebody and they break it, it doesn't mean you have to be stupid and keep loaning them stuff so they keep breaking it. But when He's, again, so because you and I are supposed to be wise stewards of our money, wise stewards of the things that we have, God expects us to do that. But we're supposed to forgive folks when they do us wrong. And we're supposed to not hold it against them. That's not easy to do. Now, ladies, a minute ago I told you that you had to forgive your knucklehead husbands. This is something that's harder for a lady to do than it is for a man. Because, see, we forgive and we just go on. Ladies forgive and they remember. They do. That's why the kids will sometimes ask me something. I'll say, I don't know. Your mom used to keep up with that stuff. I don't know. That's like, I don't know the day I was saved. I know I was saved on the Sunday. I can tell you all about the day I got saved. But my mom was not saved. My dad was with me at church. Do dads write stuff down? Do dads remember stuff? The answer to that is, they're lucky if they can remember to change clothes. I mean, to use different clothes today than they used yesterday. I mean, sometimes we'll put something on and she'll go, you going to really go out like that? And then we're looking at, oh yeah, I don't even have my socks on. I mean, sometimes we don't think about stuff like women do. But the fact is, women, though you have a long memory, you need to, it's fine about some stuff. When it comes to forgiveness, you need to have a short memory. You need to, when folks have done you wrong, especially your knucklehead husband or some other folks, you need to learn to forgive. And by the way, put it behind you. Because again, that's something that Christ did. So we ought to copy His love. We ought to copy His mercy. We ought to copy His forgiveness. I must hurry on. If you guys want me to stop on time, you probably ought to put a clock up there. I have no idea what time it is. Number four, copy His holiness. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45 says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy." Leviticus 11, 45, "I am the Lord. I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt and to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Say, "Brother Block, that's the Old Testament." Glad you said that. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy." So in 1 Peter, that is called the New Testament. Now, it is quoting the Old Testament, but what he's simply saying is the rule that we had back then, we still got it. We're supposed to be holy as Christ is holy. Now, you and I will never acquire His holiness. You and I will never achieve His holiness, but we are to strive to be holy. We're supposed to strive to be like Him. We're supposed to work at that. That is not something that's easy to do. It is not natural to do. And by the way, I can tell you holiness does not come natural. Wickedness comes natural. We're born with a fleshly body, and that fleshly body has a sin nature. When we get saved, some of us got saved as a child, so we've had our godly nature almost as long as we've had our sinful nature. But some of you got saved in your 20s and 30s. So you have had your sinful nature almost as long as you've had. You had your sinful nature for years before you ever got your godly nature. When I was saved at 9, and we've had kids here that got saved at 4 and 5. So the truth is, it wasn't like they were big, wicked sinners. You say, did they still need to get saved? Yes, everyone, when they reach the age, because a baby is a sinner. A baby just has an innocence until they reach that, what we call the age of accountability. And by the way, with every person, it is different. With the young man that rode my bus, David Moran, he was quite a bit older because he was a child that back then they would have called him retarded, but he was a child that had learning disabilities. And it took David. David was up into his teen years before he reached the age of accountability, before he realized he had done wrong. Before that, he was like a child. Now, that's why a baby can run around, run around outside. I mean, you take the diaper off, you wipe them off, you turn around to get something, and then they're gone. And you're chasing that naked baby, and they're just giggling and laughing. And by the way, they can run out into a crowd. It's not like they go, whoo! I mean, it's not like they do that because they don't even think about it. They're naked, but they don't understand they're naked. Now, understand, you and I, we want to make sure that we copy His love. We want to make sure we copy His mercy. We want to make sure we copy His forgiveness. We want to make sure we copy His holiness. Number five, we want to make sure we copy His perfectness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 says, 5:48, book of Matthew, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now, if you read back, if you go back a few verses, you'll find one of the hardest verses to live, Matthew 5:44, which says, "Bless them that curse you, pray for them which and by the way, what He's saying is do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." I mean, a really tough verse to do. By the way, a verse we're supposed to try to do. But what He went on and said in verse 48 was, "Be ye therefore perfect." Now, some people think it means complete. And that's how perfect is used sometimes, is complete. Sometimes it's used as perfect. Regardless of whether it's perfect, or complete perfect, we are supposed to strive to be like that. We're supposed to strive to be complete. Now, by the way, we're also supposed to strive. We just looked at holiness. We're supposed to strive to be perfect like Christ. Now, will we ever reach that? The answer to that is no, not until we get that new body on our way up to heaven at the rapture or at our death when our soul separates from our body. We'll get that perfect nature then, that perfect body then. We do not have it now. Now, some of you think you have a perfect body. Some of you stand in front of the mirror and go, "Oh, yeah, God, you did good." I mean, some of you, you're full of yourselves. And by the way, what that means is your husband or wife or your mom or dad ought to get rid of your mirror, okay? And it would help you, and then you could get out of your room. You can't get out of your room. Your head is so big, okay? I mean, my dad used to say, "You better stop it or you're going to break your arm patting yourself on the back." Because, I mean, some of us are really good at bragging about ourselves. And listen to me, these looks, if you have any of these, they all came from him, okay? Or some of you spent a long time making yourself look that way. We would always have banquets, so we would have stuff. And sometimes women go to these places where they fix you all up. I mean, they can take off Mohs. They can take off warts. They can take off, horns. I mean, they can fix you up pretty good. Then you come out and your husband and wife go, "You are beautiful. Or you're so handsome." Yeah, it took them 6 hours. I mean, and the poor person back there is saying, "Don't ever make me do that again. I don't care what they pay me. It's not worth it." I mean, the truth is you and I are far from perfect, far from, complete. But we're supposed to strive to be like Christ. Now, you say, how long do you do that? Till you die. Till you can say, like Paul, "I finished my course. I kept the faith." I mean, till you're done. And the last thing, and I'll be done, copy is humility. Notice Philippians chapter 2 talks about Christ's humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, we'll read a couple of verses, then I'll be done. Verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now, he was of reputation, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the, now, again, this was God that took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, again, I can tell you, if God could make himself humble, and that was a great big step, you and I don't have near as big a step to go from who we are to being humble. Truth is, you and I will sometimes humble ourselves because we'll do something and then we'll realize how foolish we were. I mean, we thought we knew everything. We thought we had all the answers. Then we'll do something stupid. We'll fall on our face. Now, we usually, once we fall on the face, we usually get up to look around and see if anyone saw us because we just want to know because we're embarrassed. We're hoping no one saw us fall on our face. But the truth is, it's not near as big a step for you and I, but it is something that you and I are supposed to do, and that is humble ourselves. We want to copy his humility. Now, I always tell, I've said this many times, I don't struggle with humility. Now, I strive to be humble, but I don't struggle. Humility is not one of my problems, okay? I have a problem that most men have, and that is called pride, which means I am full of myself. That's because of my old father. I mean, I'm a lot like him. By the way, so are you, so don't get all full of yourselves. You are too. So what that means is we have to get that I problem that we have taken care of. And we have to look at him. And by the way, when we look at him, for instance, if I went out, now, if I played Levi in basketball, I'm pretty good. I'm taller than him. I block every shot. I beat him 10-0. Take that. I mean, I can talk smack to, I mean, Levi. But if I went out and played against one of the Spurs players, even the worst Spurs player, and there's some pretty bad Spurs players this year, okay? I mean, even the worst of the Spurs players, because their team came in last place, and I'm glad they did, because Popovich ought to stay out of politics and he mind his own business. But the truth is, I mean, even the best person, I mean, the worst Spurs player, still going to beat me really, really bad. You know what that will do? Humble me. I thought I was pretty good playing Levi. I found out how bad I was when I played the Spurs player. Now listen to me. When you and I look at others, we might get pretty full of ourselves. We're not supposed to look at others. You know who we're supposed to look at? We look at him. And when we look at him, we realize I've still got a lot of room for improvement. I've got a lot of growing to do, whether it's in that love, whether it's in that mercy, whether it's in that forgiveness, whether it's in that holiness, whether it's in that perfectness or that humility. We have a lot of growing to do. So, by the way, don't stop growing. Now, you and I as adults, there's a lot of 55, 60, 70-year-olds. We're through growing unless we grow wider, and that's not always a good thing, but we're through growing. Truth is, we're probably going to get shorter. I mean, but we're not ever supposed to stop growing spiritually. We should be becoming more spiritual and more godlike every day. People ought to be able to see Jesus in us through our conversation, through our actions, through our attitudes. That's why the older women are supposed to teach the younger women. And the older men are supposed to teach young. You know what it means? We're a little farther down the road than they are. We've learned some stuff. We've got some stuff to teach them. And again, our best teacher is Jesus Christ. Learn to have the heart of God. Father, thank you for your goodness. I pray, Lord, you'd help us now tonight. If there's one here tonight,